This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 35 minutes past 7 in the morning. I'm Khoo Soo Chuang, joined by Wong Shao Ning. And of course, today is Valentine's Day. And quite appropriately, I guess, we've got MK Goh. He's the chief executive of Carex Holdings. And in case you don't know who Carex Holdings are, they are the world's largest maker of none other than prophylactics, which are known colloquially as condoms.
Yeah, they corner at least one-fifth of the global market. But since CEO MK Goh has been on the breakfast grill, so this is going to be a timely update. We're going to find out how he's doing, how the competition is, because it's gotten a lot of fiercer. With the entry of leading rubber glove manufacturer Top Glove, also trying to get into the condom space.
That's right.
Meanwhile, humanitarian aid has been cut, which supports demand for condoms from government agencies. So we're going to discuss how, or Roshan Gunnison is going to discuss how Carex plans to maintain its leads and also what kind of strategy they have in place to grow its business. So tune in after the 8 a.m. news bulletin.
And perhaps we'll see some bounce in the share price later on. Okay, let's turn our eyes stateside and budget 2021. The Trump administration, Donald, has released his proposal for the 21 budget on Monday. It's noteworthy because it highlights what the US government's priorities are. It's also their final budget proposal before federal elections in November. Overall, he's proposing to spend more on the military and immigration enforcement, but has cut funding for education, housing, the environment and its protection, as well as in Medicaid, which is, of course, government health care coverage and food stamps.
For a moment, I was confused. You said Donald, and I was like,
who's the Donald?
The Donald.
The Donald.
Okay, other key takeaways is the Justice Department's proposed budget includes a 13% increase for the antitrust division. This comes amid ongoing probes into big tech companies like Google and Facebook. The White House also seeks to add $30 million to the Federal Aviation Administration budget in order to strengthen safety in the wake of the errors made, in particular, how the Boeing 737 Max was approved. NASA's budget will also be increased by 12% to $2.7 billion. And President Trump, or Donald as you call him, since you're on first name basis, has long expressed that he wants to put astronauts back on the moon. The proposal also includes slashing the State Department budget by 22%. The biggest cuts actually are diplomatic engagement and funding for the international organizations such as the UN. But of course, I think it's going to be a bit of a fight because both sides of the parties have said that these cuts, they're not going to agree so easily on the cuts.
And of course, according to the Washington Post, under this guise, the US budget deficit won't get to a parity until at least 2035 because of lower tax revenues. Okay, still on the Americas, Iowa is the latest primaries to have kick-started in terms of the primary elections this year. Of course, we know that, the Iowa caucus had started due to a faulty app. Now, 3 days after the caucus, the Iowa Democratic Party announced that Pete Buttigieg had won a narrow lead and had secured a narrow lead over Senator Bernie Sanders.
Well, they had to compete with the Oscars, unfortunately.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah, because it was around the same time.
Especially the South Koreans, lah.
Yeah. South Koreans won, okay? Meanwhile, the New Hampshire primaries, earlier this week, Bernie Sanders took the lead in this one. The moderates Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar came in second and third, respectively. And it kind of appears that Bernie Sanders is securing the lead as the Democratic Party front runner. And this is according to several polls. Now, Andrew Yang, for those people who believe
in him, the last remaining person of color
and his followers who are called, by the way, I learned this, the Yang Gang.
Yeah, that's right. He's the part of the Yang Gang. He was proposing a universal basic income, which got some momentum.
Yeah, well, guess what? He dropped out of the race a couple of days ago because he basically knew, and he's a numbers guy. He just couldn't get the numbers to give him that kind of support he needed to be a serious Democratic presidential contender.
Yeah, so if Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden are still top of the fray, that means we'll have two septuagenarians, possibly the next Prime Minister, the President of the US. Actually, Donald Trump is in his 70s as well, isn't
he? Yeah, he's 78, I think, if I'm not wrong.
But you just get the impression Bernie Sanders is a little bit more frail than Donald Trump.
It's the tan.
It is, and the hairstyle.
It's the hair, yeah. I'm not sure which one's real, or maybe both unreal, but never mind. I think, you know, we should talk about Bloomberg.
Because, my former boss.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, I was in an interview with him. I went through 5 interviews and he was the 6th.
No way. I'm serious. He interviews everyone.
That's right. He used to.
Oh, sorry. I underestimate how important you were in the Bloomberg hierarchy. Was my fault.
No, you see, the thing is, this is before he was mayor of New York. So he had last say and he only asked one question, right? He asked all reporters, what is the most important rule in journalism?
Okay.
And the answer was accuracy.
Oh. Yeah.
And that's what you got to say.
Okay.
That's right.
So everybody knows the answer to that. Don't say anything else.
That's it. Yeah, just say accuracy. And then he'll put the phone down. He doesn't even say goodbye. He just put the phone down.
Really?
Yeah,
so I wonder what his presidential campaign will be like, or what he'll be like in the White House.
I don't know.
You know, he'll just ask one question to everyone and everybody will have to say that one thing.
It'll be about brevity.
Brevity. But anyway, he has spent $300 million of his own money so far. I mean, it's pocket change for like the world's 6th richest guy or something like that.
Yeah, because obviously he puts in like dozens of millions of dollars into his pocket every year, because free cash flow at Bloomberg is huge, right?
Yes.
And his margins are somewhere in the 70s. So.
Well, we don't know because it's a private company.
Well, I've done the sums. Yeah. It's somewhere around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think what's important for all these candidates is Super Tuesday, okay? Because that's going to be happening on March 3rd. And that's when actually Bloomberg will be on the ballots, because so far he hasn't appeared in anything, whether it's Nevada, New Hampshire, Iowa. He's not going for that. And what's important about Super Tuesday is that when 14 states are actually holding their contests, and that's when one out of every 3 delegates is at stake. So that's the race he's going for. He's like ignoring everything else. He's just focusing on Super Tuesday. That's what counts for him.
Yeah, he doesn't believe that the momentum you can secure on the first early salvos is worth mentioning, because he's just going to throw money at it, right? And basically, he's also betting that not even trying those 4 states will help avoid the kind of, you know, potentially negative narrative that might that, for example, Joe Biden is confronting. So you don't get the early kind of like teething pains. You just go straight into the deep end and you just throw money at the campaign.
Well, he spent a lot on TV ads already to date. But I think some of these political analysts say that, you know, what are the Democrat Party, what is their realistic chance of winning the White House? And actually is to find the candidate that fits the middle ground. So Bernie Sanders might be too much to the left and everybody might be too much to the right. So who's the candidate in the middle? So even the Washington Post in an op-ed piece says that Bloomberg could be the man to win this race because he fits nicely in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, in the days before Rudy Giuliani was New York mayor, I think Mike Bloomberg used to ride to work in the
subway, right?
In the subway, yeah. He liked to portray himself as a man of the people. Obviously, most billionaires are not, but in politics, one must posture, mustn't one?
Yeah. And of course, today is Valentine's Day. So, one thing, we have talked about it extensively at the 6 to 7 o'clock hour. But the point is also that Valentine's Day means big bucks, ka-ching, ka-ching, because lots of spending goes on.
Yeah, that's right. Restaurants, chocolate makers, diamond purveyors, De Beers, obviously, Tiffany's. What are some listed jewellery makers?
LVMH, right? Tiffany is listed. Pandora is listed.
Wasn't Tiffany trying to list and thinking of listing
LVMH
in Singapore?
No, LVMH wants to buy over Tiffany's.
That's right. No, back in the day, Tiffany was even considering listing in Singapore.
Did they?
Then I think they went to Hong Kong instead. Was it Hong Kong?
No, but I thought they listed in New York. But nonetheless, anyway, just guess how much American spend, because according to the National Retail Federation US, shoppers on Valentine's Day add as much as $27.4 billion to the economy. And like you say, the jewelers, they stand to benefit because people spend as much as $5.5 billion on jewelry alone.
Okay, so I know diamonds are a woman's best friend, according to De Beers, but in terms of asset classes, right? In the secondary market, diamonds don't go for anything, do they?
No, they don't.
Gold does, but not necessarily diamonds.
Yeah, it's not a common store of value, I would say.
No, it's not.
Yeah, and I think minimum you need to buy at least 1 carat for it to be even anything
don't
like a store of value.
Don't go and make it life difficult for guys all around the world, okay?
I'm putting pressure on
them,
right?
Come on, 1 carat. How much is 1 carat of whatever, VVSSS, whatever?
At the top
of
my head, minimum at least, I could be wrong, I guess 35,000 ringgit and above.
That is ridiculous. Yeah. Come, you can buy a car for that. I mean, okay, so anyway, back to the real world. According to a survey by Bankrate, right, in America, 7 out of 10 adults in relationships spend on their partner to celebrate Valentine's. That's about $150 per
couple,
per couple,
I presume.
Which is fair, right, and appropriate. Not not 35,000 ringgit, you know.
And the survey, which of course is based on US millennials, they also found that millennials, those between 24 and 39, had the most aggressive spending habits.
Interesting. Well, of course, you've got to show your love in the early days. Okay, we're now sitting at 7:46 in the morning. We'll be coming back with how the coronavirus, COVID-19, has impacted the durian industry. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.